The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
How are you on this Monday afternoon? If you want to contact the programme about anything that's on your mind, 51551 for texts, ray@rte.ie for emails. Jared has been in like Flynn there. He says, may I respectfully suggest that we use the language safe distancing instead of social distancing. Social distancing does not communicate the urgency and severity of the situation. Language is everything. Jared, you, me and my mother think the same way. I was speaking to my mother yesterday, wishing her happy Mother's Day. And she said to me, do you know what I think? I think the term social distancing isn't working. People aren't really paying attention. Should it not be something else? Now, she couldn't come up with something else. And then I was listening to Morning Ireland this morning and somebody says, well, physical distancing. Jared, how would you feel about that? Physical distancing. Because when people hear the word social, they think, well, I've not been social. I'm playing sports. I'm meeting the lads in the park and we're having a game of football. That's not social, really. It's sport. So physical distancing. Physical distancing. And then I thought, and I'm with you, Jared, that language is everything. And sometimes you need to bring it right home to people, like a smack in the face, the severity of this situation. And I was listening to Morning Ireland this morning and I was listening to Keane McCormack's report, and he was with the men from Kilbeggan Men's Shed as they made some sort of a WhatsApp call or Zoom call or something like that. And he eavesdropped on the call between Mick Rush and TP O'Gorman. And he was talking to TP first and then he said, Mick, what thoughts have you got? And this is what Mick said.
How can we educate the younger people to go with this social distancing? Because even still, they're gathering, congregating in groups, they're walking up the street in groups. What can be done to make them understand to follow the rules?
What do you think the solution is?
You need to explain to them that, look, if you don't keep the social distancing, if you don't keep apart, you're going to go home, you're probably going to infect your parents, your grandparents, what have you. How are you going to feel next week or a couple of weeks' time if you're looking down into on top of a coffin that there's a loved one in? How are you going to feel about that? It has to be a hard lesson taught, you know.
Mick Rush, that's dark, isn't it? 6 feet apart or else somebody's going to be 6 feet under. 6 feet apart or somebody's going to be 6 feet under. You see, the problem is that the people who are gathering in groups are not listening to Morning Ireland. They're not listening to me. They're obviously not listening to Leo Varadkar or Simon Harris or Tony Holohan or anybody. Because they're invincible. They're invincible. And this is sort of selfish, but they're spoiling it for the rest of us. I like my run in the morning. I'm making sure that I'm 6 feet away from people. We wave and we smile. And if we have to give way, we give way. And we're exercising physical, social, safe distancing, whatever you want to call it. But because of the people who aren't, it looks like stricter regulations are going to be introduced. And to be honest, I'll be pissed off. I will be pissed off, but if it has to be done for the common good, I will do it. I'll end up like your man in, did you see that in Paris over the weekend? He ran a marathon on his balcony. Now, it was 8 metres long and he did 26.2 miles on it. Now, there's something. There's something. So I could do laps. Laps to the back garden. Laps to the back. I get dizzy. I remember speaking to Mary McAleese and her husband. Was it Martin is her husband? What's her husband's name? Anyway, he was a runner. And he used to do laps to the back garden when she was president. But of course, it was a big garden. It was a big enough garden now. I can't remember exactly. Was it a half mile circuit or something like that? Anyway, so we have to get the message out there. I don't know how we're going to get it out to 6 feet apart, or maybe somebody's going to be 6 feet under. Is that it? I don't know. But it has to be a hard-hitting message, because social distancing is too soft. It's far too soft and people aren't getting the message. There were breaches on the beaches yesterday. Breaches on the beaches. I see Bannistrand down in Kerry was shut down. Now, I can't understand that, because I've been on Bannistrand, and if you go from Barrow up to Ballyhaig, it's 10 kilometres long. And when the tide's out, it could be 50 to 100 metres in depth. So do the maths on that. Now, how many people with a circle of 6 feet or 2 metres, how many people can you fit on that? So I don't know what's going on with people. We are social animals and we like social contact. And this crisis emergency that we're going through is depriving us of social contact. And that's a problem for people. But we're in it together. We're all in this together. There are small little silver linings to all of this. One of them was at 8:30 last night while flicking around for something to watch. I happened on Reeling in the Years from 1971. Yes, Reeling in the Years from 1971. Reeling in the Years, 1971. I think that was the year that it went from black and white to colour. Some of the reports were in black and white and some of them were in colour. And what I noticed about the GAA, because that's one of the staples, isn't it, of Reeling in the Years, that they show clips of the All-Ireland Hurling and Football Final. Men back then were a little bit more self-conscious about celebrating a goal. Watch it back now and compare it to celebrations in 2019. Men back in 1971, they scored the goal and they did it well, and then they came out with their long hair and their heels went up to just underneath their bums, and they apologetically punched the air. Not like the lads now. There was no sort of, you know, the two hands, yes, yeah, none of that. It was sort of more self-conscious and nearly apologising for scoring the goal. But I really enjoyed that, 1971. And by the way, and a sort of side bar. I was 7 when that went out, when all those things happened. Not when that went out, but when all those things happened, and I was sitting watching it with my 7-year-old son. Sort of odd. Cemetery. And do you know what's odd as well, watching television? We watched Saturday Night Takeaway with Ant and Dec on Saturday night, and they'd no audience. Very odd, very eerie, and they kept referring to the fact that it was eerie and odd. And immediately after that, on Virgin Media One, they had The Voice, which was pre-recorded. So you had all the things that we took for granted. The hugging, the kissing, the clapping, the high-fiving, all of those things. And they looked odd. You were nearly shouting at the telly going, don't do that! No, you can't do that! 6 feet apart! Tom Jones, you can't hug her! You can't hug her! It's very odd. Very strange. Yeah, all the things. How was your weekend? Did you do any cooking, baking? I'm becoming a master. I told you I'd be a master baker by the end of this. I did spotty dog over the weekend. It's a white soda bread with dried fruit. That's why it's called spotty dog. I put raisins and sultanas in it. It can also be called station cake, I think. And each raisin represents, or maybe railway cake. Is that it? Railway cake, yes. Each raisin represents a station on the railway track. Delicious, absolutely delicious. I'll be making it again. Went down a bomb in our house. Now, what are you saying? 51551 ray at rte.ie. Who's on the line? Mo Catterson's on the line. Why? Hello, Mo. No, she's not. She's not on the line. She's not on the line. I mean, things are changing here by the second. Okay. Right. I tell you what we're doing today. Today is the first day of our All-Ireland quiz. And we need a theme tune. And what better theme tune than this? Yeah, it's the first day of our All-Ireland quiz. We did the draw last week and the pairings of our round one quizzes are up on our page on rte.ie. It's all very exciting, as the music suggests. At the end of it all, we will have an All-Ireland quiz champion. Yay! It's a general knowledge quiz, 5 questions each. You get 1 point for each correct answer. But there's a little twist in that when our contestants get to question 5, their final question, They can opt for a goal question as opposed to a point question. It's a nod to our national game. You see, the goal question is worth 3 points, which means if you were on three and your opponent was on four and you went for the goal and you got 3 points, you could win. So I think it's going to prove decisive in a lot of our quizzes over the next few weeks. If you didn't get that, I'll explain as we go along. So let's kick it off. Today we are looking for representatives for you to represent your county in our All-Ireland quiz. We're looking for representatives from the counties of Leitrim and Tipperary. Leitrim and Tipperary, step up to the mark for your county. There you go, Leitrim and Tipperary. That'll put a smile on your face. Jaeger Latin, from James Last, known to you and me as the Sunday game theme tune. I've been trying to find the daily routine that Ray's wife did for the kids recently. Connor, we'll put that up. I'll have to okay it with Jennifer first. Jenny, my wife. Everywhere people are walking, people are jogging, please ask joggers shedding sweat in the wind to give walkers a wide berth. Well, you would expect people to do that. That's what I do. But I'll put the call out there to everybody. Please ask the public to dispose of rubber gloves in the bin. They're everywhere on the footpaths. Why are we littering? This is my slogan. Play your part, stay apart. That's nice, isn't it? Play your part, stay apart. I think hazard distancing would work. Yeah. Some people, even in plain English, won't do it. At garage off Sandy Mount Beach yesterday, a closed link line for ice cream. Even the cars found it difficult to get out. A closed link line queuing for ice cream. Oh, yeah, sorry, I have it there. A closed link line queuing for ice cream. Even the cars found it difficult to get out, says Marie. And here in Spain, the only way the Spanish government ensured that people respected distancing was by imposing fines. A friend of mine was fined for going to a supermarket further away than one closer to his home. Saludos cordiales. That's from Jerry. The guy from the World Health Department said today, go out as if you have the virus and keep your distance. Much easier for people to understand. Greetings from Nice, as Catherine. Didn't one lady say last week, treat yourself like a pariah? So that's the same as that. Treat yourself as if you have it and you don't want to give it to anybody else, which would be the thing. More disco, talking over songs, Ray. That's what the country needs. We could turn the lights off at home, pull the curtains and have a modern day Ray's rave. Phil in Dublin. Phil, do you know what I did yesterday? There's a Spotify playlist up called Calm, which I put up last week. It's there and it's 3 hours of calm music selected from my experience of music over the years. So there's some folk music in it, there's some classical music in it, there's some good old noughties, chill music in it, and it's all there. It's about 3 hours there. But yesterday evening, I felt energetic, so I put together a stuck-in playlist. I started with Kenny Rogers and the First Edition. You know that one from The Big Lebowski? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I might play it today, actually. And then I just went on for about 3 hours, so I'll put that up before the end of the week. Get the message across by putting up banners on the streets like the ones that are put up for festivals, is that person. And every person should look at what is happening in Italy, France and Spain in the hospitals. It'll bring it home immediately how bad things really are. Spoke to a young girl at the weekend and she didn't know how bad things are. It was only when the pubs closed that she realised how bad this coronavirus really is. Kind regards, Jimmy. See, Jimmy, we're living in a world of Sean O'Rourke, Morning Ireland, Joe Duffy. So we think that everybody lives in that world, but they don't, of course. They don't hear that and the message doesn't get through. And I remember years ago we did a road safety campaign and we had to use the F word because we had to speak the language of the people who had been affected. So we used the F word and small part it played in reducing the number of road deaths on our roads. And I think that's it. Like, social distancing is a little bit wishy-washy. You know, we need stronger language so that people pay attention. And we need to talk to them where they're listening on social media. So there should be social media influencers out there influencing the people who follow them to stay apart and not gather in groups. Did I not give out the number? That'd help. There you go. 1850-715-900. Leitrim and Tipperary. 1850-715-900. Leitrim and Tipperary. I wrote the script and I left out the number. 1850-715-900. Tipperary and Leitrim. Two counties taking part in our All-Ireland quiz today. The Sunday game tune makes me think of you running out into the Croke Park. Was it Kildare jersey, Emile O'Mahurty commentating? Yes. I scored a goal in Croke Park. Now, there was nobody in Croke Park and there was nobody on the opposing team. There was nobody on my team. I was just on my own, but it was a good feeling. And Emile O'Mahurty, who has a brilliant memory, every time we meet, he mentions that, which always brings a smile to my face. Thanks for bringing that up. Sean, if everyone over 12 was asked to write down why they think schools, pubs, restaurants, etc. are all being told to close, they might then give it some thought. That's a good idea. Loads coming in. Keep them coming in. 51551, ray at rte.ie. Count us in, John Lennon. 51551, ray at rte.ie. Where are we there now? There it is there. Martin Healy here again, just to let you know, the Flags for Frontliners is now on Facebook and Instagram, building moral support for our frontline workers. I would like to encourage everyone to support our campaign for these great people, because without them, well, you know where we'd be without them. So hashtag Flags for Frontliners, somebody else was saying last week, fly the flag, fight the virus. I was listening to a retired Garda on with Sean O'Rourke through Evelyn O'Rourke this morning, and he was saying that he just felt frustrated at home and he was glad to be doing something. And I think that's a sentiment that's echoed around the country. We're sitting at home, we want to do something. I even said it to Jenny yesterday, I feel like I'm not doing enough, I want to do something to help people. People are not being responsible enough, and what we need to do is send out a leaflet to every household in the country to explain the danger of not being 6 feet apart. The word social distancing is not registering at all. That's Mark and Skibbereen. And 6 feet apart or 6 feet under should be used to wake up people and get them to understand this is life or death, says Maria. You don't want to scare people too much, Maria, but we have to get the message across, so it's a fine line. You're walking there, treading. John in Malahide says, regarding how to make people aware of the virus, the most potent image I have seen is the video of the army trucks carrying the bodies of people's loved ones in northern Italy. If these images can be seen on TV as much as possible, it might wake everyone up. They could be your loved ones. And do like they do in Belgium, max two people can walk together. If they stop or sit down on a park bench, they're fined €500 each. And happier things. My kitchen adventure started on Saturday with pork meatballs in sweet and sour sauce. Sunday, I baked a chocolate cake, Mars bar, tombstones and crispy buns and dropped them up to my daughter's doorstep and seen the grandkids very briefly. Then I made apple crumble, stewing my apples in apple cider, all delicious and most enjoyable to make. Take care, says Kathleen. Yum, yum, yum. Well, in our house, we had the spotted dog. Then Kate made flapjacks and Jenny made banana bread. So I don't know what we're going to be like at the end of all this. And who's there? Betty Kelly in Mullingar. Oh, yeah, that's a request for Betty Kelly in Mullingar for a belated Mother's Day request. And it comes from somebody in Florida. I live here in Vero Beach in Florida. I'm originally from Mullingar. Love RT Radio. I want to wish you a virus-free journey these next few weeks. Self-isolation only option left. Let's do it for everyone's safety, as we all want to see this end as soon as possible. And that's what somebody's saying there. Just wondering why people don't understand that the longer they don't keep social distancing, the longer it will last. We all have to make sacrifices in the short term for the long-term gain, says Katrina. Thanks for all that. 51551 ray at rte.ie. And just a quick reminder, All-Ireland quiz starts today. Leitrim take on Tipperary, and if you want to represent your county, as in Leitrim or Tipperary, give us a call. 1850 715 900.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Words are failing us. We're running out of words. Unprecedented, uncharted waters. Weird, crazy, mad times. Once in a lifetime. Hopefully none of us will ever experience this again. And for a lot of us, what we have to do when it comes to self-isolating and staying at home and not going to school and not going to work and working from home are all new things. But for others, it's all part of a day's work. I'm delighted to be joined now by a man who knows a thing or two about being on his own for long periods of time. Commander Chris Hadfield. Hello to you.
Hello, Ray. How are you faring? You doing okay?
Yeah. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. My family's fine. We are keeping our distance and trying to be prudent and take care of my elderly parents and all the normal things that folks are doing.
Okay. And are your elderly parents living on their own?
They are. They live on a farm. They're mid-80s, and they've been there most of their lives. My sister has gone to live with them and be their interface with the world.
Aha. Uh-huh. So they have somebody there to take care of them then?
They do, yeah. And it's nice to be in a family position where we can help my folks like that.
Yeah. Can I just say thank you for your children's book, The Darkest Dark. You were on the TV show with us and you signed a copy for my son, Tom. And it's one of the favourites when it comes to going to sleep time in our house. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for that.
Please. And, you know, the reason that we put that book together, that I wrote it, was to show that it's okay to be afraid, you know, no matter what age you are. But the real question is, what do you do with it? You know, how do you deal with danger in your life that makes you afraid? So even, you know, even a book that is written for your children, hopefully some of the ideas in it are valid, you know, right across the board.
Mm. So talk to me a little bit about you in your career as an astronaut and going out on the space station and how you dealt with isolation and fear of the unknown.
I don't know of any environment that is as exaggerated a combination of remote isolation and regular high-level danger as the crew that is right now up on the International Space Station. And so, to some degree, maybe you're right. There's something there that has parallels to what a lot of people are experiencing right now. There's three folks. There's two Russians and an American up there right now. Two Americans and a Russian. But how do they deal with it? The first and most important thing is not to just be paralyzed by the fear of the unknown. And it's something that I took really seriously to heart throughout my entire career as a test pilot and then as an astronaut. And that is to truly dig into what is triggering the fear response. Why do I feel uncertain? Why do I feel afraid? There's probably some actual danger there. And let's, rather than just, you know, crossing my fingers or rubbing a lucky charm or hoping, how about if I actually dig into what is the true thing that is threatening us? On a spaceship, you know, it's the potential for fire or a meteorite hitting the ship and popping a hole in the side or a contaminated atmosphere or whatever. There are definable actual risks, and then learn about them. Find out the probability of them actually happening, and then find out ways to stop them from happening or to minimize the response and figure out what you're going to do when they happen. And to me, that is for everybody right now. That is the most important first step. Don't just listen to the panicked mob. Don't just go with what your gut tells you. Actually dig into what is the actual threat. What is the true risk that we're all facing right now? And there is a definite measurable one out there as the first important step, because all of your subsequent actions are based on your understanding of the danger that you're facing.
Of course, one thing that's different, I suppose, about this and going into space is that as a community, as a society, we can all help each other.
It just depends on your definition of the size of your community and your society, I guess. On board a spaceship, we are a very small little town. We're more like a family, but we're supported by community in all of the mission controls around the world. And we don't just suddenly show up in space either. It's been a decade-long process to get there of building that trust and community and how you know that your own actions can greatly affect the well-being of someone else. So, yeah, we're very cognizant of it in that business. But here, it's even more widespread. Your actions can have life or death consequences for complete strangers. whether, you know, even inadvertent stuff. And so it even puts more of an onus on people to truly understand the risks. And risks, not just maybe for yourself, Ray, but for your extended family and your neighbors and friends.
And Chris, that's, I suppose, and I find this difficult to get my head around, in that the action that's expected of us is inaction, in a way. You know, don't go out, don't interact. And that's difficult for people.
Yeah, once you dig into the facts, there are lots of good authoritative sources. There's a whole tsunami of terrible information out there. But just go to the trusted health sources, the true proven authorities that exist.
HSE.ie, yeah. Go on.
Yeah. And once you know what the facts are, then trying to decide, you're right, what is the safest thing? It's not like most of us aren't going to get this. It's just like any sort of contagious cold or something. It's going to run its course through society. But the actions that we take can have an enormous impact on what that actually does to society. If we just let it hit us like a wall, then it'll absolutely overwhelm our medical facilities. If we can keep a distance for a while, don't allow the interpersonal contact to allow it to spread so rapidly, then all of the folks that regularly help us, all of the existing structures of Irish society, can hopefully keep up. And we won't just condemn the more frail amongst us to death as a result. So it's really important for people. And it's an enormous disruption of life. People can't earn their normal income. They can't lead their normal pursuits, you know, and change is hard for everybody. Accepting that new environment, view it like, hey, okay, I'm on a spaceship. I'm on my own little voyage with my own little crew.
Yes.
And so life is different. Get over that part and now try and redefine life where you are.
It's funny because somebody actually made that analogy last week, one of our listeners, that treat this as a journey to Mars. And that's, you know, that's us getting out the other end is our arrival at Mars. So we're all astronauts. So with that in mind, the confinement, you know, that people are on top of each other where they wouldn't have been before. They can't go out. They're not going to school. There's no break from each other. Any tips on how to navigate that?
Oh, yeah. And that's the most important thing, I think. Once you know for sure the risk, so you're not just dealing with some great big fear, then because you're now in a new set of circumstances, give yourself a new set of objectives. Give yourself a new definition of success. Everybody knows 3 months ago what a good day was, or, you know, a good day of work or whatever, but the conditions are different now. So what is your new set of objectives? If, you know, when you wake up in the morning or you're looking ahead to tomorrow, if the day goes perfectly, what will I have accomplished by dinner time? And it might be something as simple as made everybody in my household laugh twice, or I prepared a meal that we've never had before and it turned out well, or we all learned a new song in the household today, or I found a way to be productive still in earning an income for my family, you know, somehow remotely. So rethinking, well, I'm doing that like crazy. Everybody is. How can we take what we were doing and still make it productive enough to society that we can all earn a living? You know, but give yourself a new and up to you set of objectives. Nobody really cares what you're doing except you and how it impacts your family and your close associates. So redefine it for yourself and don't use your old measures of success. Do it that way. And then, you know, you'll have failed on some of them and succeeded on some of them by the end of the day. But celebrate. On board a spaceship, we do that every single day. And the playing field is constantly changing. And one thing that I instituted with my crew members was try and do one nice thing for each other person on board your spaceship without being asked every day. So if you're a crew of six people, just go out of your way to do an unasked nice thing for every other person. And if all six of you and your crew do that, it sort of creates a little bit of a contagious goodwill environment. And the other is don't let yourself be small-minded. You know, take a breath, count to 10, recognize that this is hard for everybody. Build an agenda for each person. I mean, we have my 4-year-old granddaughter living with us, and she needs to develop and grow and do things. And so she needs an agenda for each day because all of her schooling is disrupted. And everybody, I think, needs to go through that and then cut themselves a lot of slack and give each morning another new chance.
That's it. Do you know, the sort of the unique, well, not unique, but you're in a very small club, the number of people who've seen planet Earth from the perspective that you saw it from. And when you tune into the news of an evening and you see, you know, the map of the world and how the coronavirus is sweeping across the world, do you, in your mind's eye, see it differently than the rest of us, do you think? Do you understand that question?
I think I see the world from my direct experience as a much smaller place than most people.
Right.
It's just, you know, when you were a little kid, your house was kind of your whole world. And as you've gotten older, the more you've traveled, your direct understanding of the world has changed and you include more things in it. Imagine if you've been around the world 2,600 times, the whole world starts to feel like, okay, this is the one place that I'm from, just like your hometown or maybe all of Ireland. And so I feel that way about the world, sort of inevitably because of the personal impact of my experience. Mm. And so with that, I think I've always felt that we face the same problems. What does each of us want in our you know, years that we get of the world? What are the joys that we have? What are the things that give us a sense of worth and satisfaction? You know, what do we hope for? That's really common. But when we face a common enemy, I think, if anything, it unites us even more. You know, so much of the stuff that was screaming at us in the headlines just a few weeks ago seems to have diminished to the level where it ought to be. But the relative importance of those things are put in the proper perspective. And people are now dealing with something that is more pressing and more common.
Yeah.
It doesn't diminish the seriousness of it. And you can look at the numbers. There's only, a third of a million people out of 7.7 billion that are infected. But it's increasing exponentially.
Yeah.
And we have the ability to change that rate of increase.
And
you don't have to look very far
Flatten
back in history. You don't have to look very far back in history to see how bad it can get. So we need people to act together. And I think that global perspective of just hold a globe in your hands and spin it once or twice. You know, this is where we all live, and everybody's facing this thing. And it's one of the few moments in history where we truly have a common enemy, and it's kind of top of mind for all of us.
Mm.
And that gives us maybe a chance to rethink our level of priorities.
Yeah, that's interesting, because we were speaking to Father Peter McVerry last week and he was saying, and a lot of people had said it, and I'd said it on the air a few times, that we couldn't maintain the way we were going on planet Earth, you know, all the consumerism and, you know, what we were doing to the planet. And this probably is a wake-up call. Do you think people will heed it?
People have short memories and
yes.
Pain fades. You know, why would a woman ever give birth to her second child? You know, it's just pain fades, you know, that's a necessary adaptation to be human.
Yeah.
You know, we won't come out of this perfect. I think much as what people call not very long ago, the greatest generation, people that emerged from the echoes of the first Great War and then the Depression and then the Second World War, I think it gave them a different perspective than someone who's never had to face any sort of global issue. And it may help us readdress some of the more subtle global issues that exist right now. How we generate power. How are we going to deal with how we're claiming changing the climate? People may stop just treating it as something imaginary and recognize, hey, there are actual global issues and individual
yes.
actions can matter. I don't think it'll be a panacea, but I think everybody needs to maybe put this into their toolbox of reality and think about, when we come out the other side of it, how it's going to change our actions and our ideas of dealing with other global problems.
So I presume if you have your grandchild there, that you have your son or daughter there with you, do you? Or do you in the house?
We do, yes.
You do? Well,
yeah.
That's a nice family unit then, isn't it?
It is. And you know, it is wonderful. And like family, it drives you crazy, right? Because, hey, you know, I'm a retired grandpa here, and I have a pretty nice, steady, regular daily routine that is now all disrupted. But it's also a rare opportunity to spend extended time for my own joy with my granddaughter, but also helping to shape her life and teach her things that I know. And to get close, it's my daughter-in-law, so getting to know my daughter-in-law better. And to me, that's a real plus. You just have to kind of look at it as, all right, these are the new set of circumstances. Let's stop just wishing and pining and reflecting and reminiscing. Let's actually deal with life as it is right now. And a lot of people learn that lesson different ways. But I think perhaps now there's more a common focus on that. And we shouldn't just waste it. We shouldn't just regret it. There are beautiful things happening every single day.
Yes.
And try not to let the sort of media screaming pervasiveness of the CNN negativity overwhelm the reality of where you're living.
Chris, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. Mind yourself and mind your family. Thank you very much.
Be well, Ray.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers in the first edition. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. It was great. Great music. What was that one? Islands in the Stream. People used to think it was Ireland's Industry. They used to mishear it. It was Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, wasn't it? Yeah. Regarding how to make people aware of the virus, the most... I read that already. From Mother's Day yesterday, our son in Dublin sent us Friends Trivial Pursuit, both big fans, as we would not get to Dublin to celebrate the day with our grandchildren. It was better than any chocolates or flowers. We are both in the older age group. It made our day, says Margaret. And you call it a railway cake when there is very little fruit in it, as in there is a kern at every station, LOL. Say happy 89th birthday to my mother, Maura Burke, in Arklow, County Wicklow. We'll have the party when this is all over, says Paul Burke. Stay safe, he says. And surely don't stand so close to me by the police, should be the song we're all singing. That's Clare in Limerick. We must dig that out and play a bit of it. And somebody says here, became very ill yesterday, Mother's Day, had to get emergency services, recovering at home today. Ambulance came and checked me out, thought I was getting a heart attack or stroke as my body was shutting down. The two guys checked me out and said all my vitals were okay. No COVID symptoms, diagnosed attack of vertigo. They said normally they would take me to hospital and it was up to me. They assured me I could call 999 if I needed to later. They were brilliant. They were so assuring. And put me at ease. I said my final prayers. I thought I was dying. Thank you to the two ambulance men who came to St. Margaret's yesterday afternoon and to the DDoc helpline as well. Our health workers are the brave soldiers on the front line. We appreciate you all. I'm recovering today in bed at home. That's Sheila. Mind yourself, Sheila. That was a terrible thing to happen, but you're out the other side, which is great news. Sean is on. He says, I was cleaning the attic, as you do these days, and I came across a VHS tape. It's a tape from November 2001 of The Den, when I was general manager of the Irish senior men's basketball team, and two of the team went on the show, and I remember it being very funny. One of these lads is now a police chief in a precinct in New York. I want to get it transferred to a medium to send that to them. Have you any idea how we'd get that done? Sean O'Reilly, he wants a VHS transferred to digital format. Now, there used to be loads of places to do that. I don't know if they do it anymore, but somebody let me know, Sean, and I'll let you know. VHS, some digital format that he can send it off to this man who's a police chief in a precinct in New York. I was lucky enough to sit in a Russian Sputnik rocket at the Expo 87 in Vancouver. Talk about cramped. We don't know what it means, says Myron Wexford. And nice to hear Chris again. He has a unique perspective on things. As much as he saw the world as a smaller place, imagine how it took Ed, when the Apollo craft came back from around the back of the moon. In that context, I don't think 6 feet is a lot to ask for, says Paul and Santry. And I'm doing self-isolation and wear a kilt around the house. My wife thinks I'm losing it, but I find a good way of dealing with boredom, says Jim and Dublin. So you're wearing a kilt around the house. It probably feels very liberating. Cork Film Services will transfer tape. There you go. And they'll put it onto a DVD or USB stick, or they'll probably send it to you as an email either. That's from Niall Twamley. Thanks, Niall. Thanks for that. That was sorted very quickly. Now, while we're on technology, Ciara O'Brien, the Irish Times business and technology journalist, joins us. How are you doing, Ciara?
I'm good. I'm socially distancing myself from everybody.
good. We had you on before talking about all the various streaming services that were available to people, the Netflixes and the Amazon Prime and the Googles and all that. And there's a new one arriving tomorrow.
There is. Disney Plus is finally launching in Ireland. It's been available in America since last year. Actually, I had a brief preview of it through a few twists and turns, but basically has all of Disney's streaming content, or most of it anyway. So you're looking at Star Wars movies, as much Mickey Mouse as you can possibly handle for the rest of your life. Frozen, that kind of thing. I think actually they released Frozen early on Disney Plus in the States because, you know, obviously people were staying home. And as a kind of, I suppose, a little, we're sorry about this, so here you go, try and make your life a little bit easier.
And have they got
too late for me, though, I already had to buy it.
Have they got The Simpsons as well?
They have lots of stuff. I think that like it's not just Disney content. You know, they've pulled in a whole lot of other stuff. I mean, to me, it's like I've been using Disney Life. I've been paying for Disney Life because I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they're both Mickey Mouse mad. So I've been paying for Disney Life, which is basically the kid version of this. Now, as of tomorrow, that's no longer available. It's wrapped into Disney Plus, and it's the same price. So for me, it's a no-brainer. I'm going to pay for it, and I'm going to use it, and it will be streamed. To hell, I say my internet connection has taken an absolute battering along with everybody else's at the moment.
Mm. And what are the implications of that if everybody's at home streaming? Are there any implications?
So we did ask about this because obviously, you know, you'll notice yourself, even with the best internet connection in the world or in the country, as soon as people start to arrive home for the evening, you'll notice there's always a slight dip in your internet speeds. Mm. We did ask about this before, obviously, all the schools were shut and everybody was working from home. And we were assured by the major broadband providers that their networks would be able to cope, that they've done this before. Obviously, we had the Beast from the East and Storm Emma, and all of that kind of kept people in their houses. What I have been told kind of, you know, obviously that I've had no issues myself in working from home. My internet connection has been, it's been really good, which is great because obviously we're completely remote at the moment. What we did find, though, is that people are saying, look, great if everybody's working from home. What you might find is if Netflix is being streamed as well as everybody being at home, this is where we might run into a little bit of a bottleneck. But Netflix has actually, along with the other major streaming services, they've actually kind of decreased the quality of their streams so they don't take up as much space. Uh-huh. So hopefully that should sort it.
So they're easing the pressure on our broadband services. Just go back to one thing. I noticed last night that Apple TV are offering movies that shouldn't have been released for months because of the current crisis, but the rental charge is $16.99 for a rent.
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, I know. It's
are they joking? Was that a mistake?
Honestly, I wouldn't be paying anything like that for a rental. I mean, if I'm paying $16.99 for something, I'm going to want to keep it.
Yes.
And look, I think you'll probably find a few anomalies somewhere along the way, but I think everybody has a choice here. We don't need the latest and greatest movies. We just need something that'll keep us occupied.
And I don't think people should be exploiting the situation, to be honest. If they're going to release something early, well, do it on the normal terms and don't try and make a quick book out of it. That's just.
I think with a lot of these streaming services, they're kind of tied by the agreements that they have with the different companies.
I know,
companies.
But we're not in normal times, are we? Anyway,
we're not.
The reason we wanted to get you on was that there are people, I'm thinking of, you know, there's a group of women who come in here, I think, on a Tuesday morning to do yoga. They're all retired from RTE, but they do the bit of yoga and have a cup of coffee and they have a chat, right? Mm-hmm. There are people who meet up in cafes all over the country, people with book clubs, all those sort of people. And they can't do it anymore because of social distancing. But they can do it using the right technology that they may not have been aware of up until now. Step in. Kira O'Brien from the Irish Times.
Okay. So the main two I use would be WhatsApp and Zoom. So WhatsApp is great for if you have family groups. And the reason why WhatsApp is great for family groups is you probably already have those groups set up. You can set up a group video call. The downside is you can only have up to four participants.
Only
so
four
me
participants
and three others.
On WhatsApp. Or,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's fine. And it works well. I mean, I've used it a few times. I use it. My sister, she has a very small baby that I get to see every day on video chat because obviously I can't go anywhere near her and she gets to see my kids. Okay. So we have all that. Now, Zoom is it's kind of something that you may have seen cropping up a lot more in the last couple of weeks, purely because people now need new tools to find out how to do these big activities that they've been doing before.
Now, talk people through this nice and slowly, so because they might need a pen and paper as well. If you want to set up Zoom on your phone so you can video conference a group of friends, isn't that what we're aiming at here?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, I would have used Zoom before this, in the world before coronavirus, I would have used Zoom for business meetings, for teleconferences, for interviewing somebody who was on the other side of the world. And that's kind of what it's set up for. So you set up a live meeting. So it's not like WhatsApp seems a bit more, chatty, because it seems a bit more informal, because it's a group chat that you set up. With Zoom, you're setting up meetings. So, for example, I am more tech savvy than some of my family, so I would set up a meeting and I would send them all a link that they can then use to join them. They don't have to have an account. The link will take them to the website, and then as long as they have a video camera or a camera on their device, they can join.
So you're sending them an email, are you? Just because we need to be, it's baby steps here for people.
An email or an SMS. Okay, so
an SMS, and they open that and they just follow the instructions, do they?
The easiest way to do this is everybody who has a smartphone downloads the Zoom app, right? And then I will send you a meeting code, and you can go to Zoom and you just use that code. You put in that code and it takes you straight to my meeting. And I then can, you can see everybody, or you can just see me. You can put a gallery view in. You can have up to 100 people in.
100 people?
Yeah. That's only on the free account. So obviously people want something that's free, because let's face it, most people aren't going to pay 20 quid a month or whatever just for something.
Who's going to be meeting up with 100 people on a Tuesday morning to do yoga? Not highly unlikely. So we're looking at groups of maybe maximum 10. So this is perfect for
them. And obviously, the smaller the group, the easier it's going to be to keep track of who's talking. So, 100 people is the maximum, but you can have meetings of up to 40 minutes. So my 5-year-old at the moment does kickboxing classes over Zoom. There's a yoga studio in Dublin, The Space Online, they're doing yoga classes and meditation, which I'd say we probably all need a little bit of at this stage.
Over Zoom.
They're all doing it over Zoom. And because the instructors can give you feedback. So like I'm talking to my mother and my father, my brother, my sister's in a different house. So I could be talking to cousins all on video chat, and I can see them all. They can see me. I can hear them all. They can hear me. And that's pretty much all you're looking for. And it's easy to set up.
Brilliant. So Zoom comes highly recommended from Ciara O'Brien.
And it's very stable, which is the main thing that you want as well.
Yes. Now I hear a little babby there crying. We're taking you away. They need mammy's attention. And it's usually they want the attention when you're giving somebody else the attention. Isn't that the way it works?
Exactly. Yes. That is, I've just shut him out of the room.
Okay. You're a journalist, so you've probably been working from home for a number of years. What's your top tip to people who are new to it?
Okay, people with children or people without children?
Let's go with children today. And
with children. Okay. So people with children is relax the screen time rules, because otherwise you're going to drive yourself demented. I know an awful lot of people are very strict about what kind of screen time they allow their children to have, whether that's TV or whether it's apps. I get around that myself by downloading a lot of educational apps and hoping that at least if they're getting a little bit more screen time than they normally would, at least they're going to be learning something. I mean, there's stuff like for younger kids, there's things like ABC Phonics, there's the Originator Learning Academy, and all that would have, like, obviously ABC Phonics is self-explanatory. The Learning Academy has things like maths, endless reader, endless alphabet, even Spanish lessons, music, the whole lot.
Okay. So we'll get all that information from you, Ciara, if you don't mind, and we'll put it up on our website so people can consult it.
No problem.
Ciara, thank you so much. Mind yourself. Stay safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We're very excited because we know there are people at home and we know that people love quizzes. So we put the two of them together and we come up with this brilliantly original idea of the All-Ireland Quiz. Yeah, it is the first day of our All-Ireland Quiz. We did the draw last week and the pairings of our round one quizzes are up on our RTE page, rte.ie. Very exciting, as our music suggests. At the end of it all, we will have an All-Ireland champion. Yes, it's a general knowledge quiz. 5 questions each, 1 point for each correct answer. And there's a little twist in that. For the final question, question 5, our contestants will get the option of a goal question, which is valued at 3 points as opposed to 1 point. And that could become very decisive in a lot of our quizzes. Wait till you see. I'll explain it as we go. So today, it's Leitrim take on Tipperary. And from Leitrim, we have Adele McCauley. How you doing, Adele?
Hi, Ray. I'm good, thanks.
Good to talk to you. What's your story?
I'm at home with 3 kiddos at the moment, an 8-month-old, a nearly 3-year-old, she'll be 3 on Friday, and a 4-year-old. So lots of fun and games.
Lots of. And did you work before all this, or you stay at home, mom, or what?
I do work, but I'm on maternity leave, so it hasn't affected me that much as such. It's just the kids go to play school and things like that. So
and that's not open.
More than they would be. That's
and I would imagine they have no idea what's going on in the real world.
Not really, but actually they're perceptive enough. They're picking up things on the TV, and I suppose you kind of have to be careful as well to shield them from a certain amount of stuff. But they understand about washing the hands and to keep the germs away.
Yes.
But I suppose other than that, they are in a bit of a bubble at the moment.
And you're originally from Donegal, but living whereabouts in Leitrim?
And living in the big smoke of Ballinaglera, which is near Drumshambo, which might be better known to people.
Aha. We did a show from Drumshambo last year, as it happens.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah, it is a beautiful part of the world.
It
We're
is.
Living at Loch Allen here, so it is a nice part of the world. But my heart is in Donegal.
But you're representing Leitrim, whether you like it or not. Have you?
Yes, I'm very proud to do so. Very proud to do so.
Have you ever represented a county in anything before in your life?
Good question. No, I actually don't think I have.
Okay.
There you go.
Right. You're representing Leitrim and you're up against Tipperary, and representing Tipperary you have Terry Jackson. How are you doing, Terry?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Whereabouts in Tipperary are you?
I'm in Tipperary Town.
Ah, right. Tipperary Town. And how was your day yesterday?
I had a lovely day, actually. I was on my own because I'm isolated from my family. My family are in Dublin, actually. So my daughter and the grandchildren couldn't come and visit me, or I couldn't see them. But I had a lovely day. I did some gardening and some reading and just had a really nice relaxing time and listened to the radio, of course. I listened to Derek's lovely sounds yesterday. Had a really nice time.
I reckon that Irish gardens will never be as good as they are now. Have never been and will never be, because that's what people are doing, aren't they? So
absolutely.
We're trying to get Jerry Daly out of retirement to give advice. You remember Jerry used to have the show on the radio on a Saturday.
We'll all be experts at the end of this.
Yes. I used to love when people asked him about their herbaceous borders. Right. Okay. Have you ever represented your county in anything before?
Never.
Well,
never at
okay.
all.
Okay. Well, you're representing them in the All-Ireland quiz. Listen, we have your county anthems. So, Adele, for you, if you'd stand up for your county anthem, please. Here we go.
And if ever I'll return again, there's one place I will go. It will be to lovely Leitrim,
Come on, Brendan, one more time.
I won't sing along for your beer thing.
There you go, the Leitrim anthem. That's lovely Leitrim by Brendan Shine. And for you, Terry, in Tipperary, Sleave them on.
To see our flag unfurled and my true love to enfold in the valley. Near Sleave
Go on, Johnny McAvoy, one more time, Johnny.
In a valley near Sleave the Mon.
Go on, Tip! Go on, Leitrim! Hey! Okay. Terry and Adele, 5 questions each.
Okay.
You get a point for each question, and then a little twist at the end, your final question, you get an option of going for a goal. So that's 3 points. So you could be 2 points behind, go for the goal and end up winning. But I'll explain that when we get to you. There's 2 different types of questions. A point one is obviously easier than a goal one. So the first 4 are straightforward, and then I'll talk to you about the 5th question. Let's get a bit of tension going. Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not. We've a tension bed. No, we don't have a tension bed, do we? Sure, I'll roll something here. We'll work on that for tomorrow.
We're
tense enough. You're tense enough. Okay, here we go. Then, first question then for Adele McCauley representing County Leitrim. And throughout this, we're going to give a question on the opposing county for the first question. So your question is on Tipperary. Tipperary shares a border with how many other counties? 2, 4, or 8? Adele.
I'm going to guess 8.
Is the correct answer. Offaly, Laois, Kilkenny, Waterford, Cork, Limerick, Clare and Galway. So well done, that's a good start for you. Now, Terry, you've to answer a question on Leitrim.
Okay.
According to CSO statistics, County Leitrim has a total population of 32,044, 42,044 or 52,044.
I'll go for the middle one, 42,044.
No, it's the smaller. The smaller. Oh, okay. I think it's the smallest population in the country, 32,044. Early days, no sweat on that. Back to you, right. Adele McCauley, representing the county of Leitrim. Which of these acts was the last winner of the Eurovision for Ireland? Johnny Logan, Niamh Kavanagh or Eimear Quinn?
I think it was Eimear Quinn.
Is the correct answer, in 1996. Now, Terry, your question. Singer Adele last released an album in 2015. What was it called? 21, 23 or 25?
21.
No, that was the one before. That was 25. Oh. Now, you're still in it. And remember, you have the gold question at the end, which could save everything.
Okay.
You're doing well, Adele. You're on two. Your third question is this. It's a sports question. Which county has won the most All-Ireland senior hurling titles? Limerick, Cork or Kilkenny?
Kilkenny.
Is the correct answer. Terry, your question is a sports question as well. Last year, Dublin won a record fifth All-Ireland title in a row, a run stretching back to 2015. Who did they beat in the final? Tyrone, Kerry or Mayo?
Tyrone?
No, it was Kerry. It was Kerry. Now you
the
still.
The questions didn't suit me.
No, surprisingly, today, right? Surprisingly, you can still win this because we have our fifth question, which you can go for a three-pointer if you like. Okay, so it's still open to you. I wouldn't give up hope. Okay, audio question for you, Adele. Can you name this Irish comedian?
I said, Britain and Ireland, you know, they're quite cold. They're quite drafty places, right? And I couldn't believe this. He looked at me and he went, what's a draft? What's a draft? And I went, I said, what do you mean you don't know what a draft is? He goes, well, what is it? I went, well, it's in your house.
Who was that?
Oh, what's going to be blank? Is it PJ? Can't remember his surname.
PJ Gallagher, no, it's not.
It's not. Okay.
Jason Byrne. They're good friends.
Okay.
And they probably sound a little bit alike. Okay, an audio question for you. Terry, representing County Tipperary. Can you name this Irish reality TV star?
I'm not going to let anyone talk about me like I'm a piece of garbage. He's trying to be a lad out there in front of all the boys. I don't want a lad. I want a gentleman. Yeah. Someone that's going to talk about me with a bit of respect. Yeah.
Golly, a reality show. I haven't a clue. I haven't a clue.
Throw the name, no?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely blank.
Okay.
Nothing.
Right, it's Maura Higgins.
Now,
Now, surprisingly, the way it goes here, you can't win. No, I'm just doing the maths there. You can't.
I'm not surprised, right?
No, but, you can go into a draw situation. So let's see it. Adele, if you get this wrong, and then, Terry, if you go for the goal question, then it's a draw because you're on 3 points each. So this is
I have the option of going for the goal.
You have the option of going for the goal as well. So
and
it's your final question.
Okay, long term, does the amount of points I get...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
A win is a win.
It's not.
Yes.
Oh, well, then it would be silly for me to go for the goal.
It would be reckless. Okay. So I take it you're going to go for the 1 point question.
Yes, please, Ray.
Okay. What is the name of the current Minister for Education?
That is Donegal's own Joe McHugh.
It is Joe McHugh, which gives you four. So even if you go for the goal question, you only get three, Terry. So hard luck. As a commiseration, as a sort of a consolation prize, we're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy Show mug.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah,
thank
there you go.
Very much.
Just treasure it.
I will. And listen, well done, Adele. You did great.
Thanks, Terry. Hard luck.
Terry, stay safe and mind yourself.
And you too.
You're
bye.
Great. Thank you very much. That's the lovely Terry Jackson, Tipperary Town. Adele McCauley, you're the first qualifier for round two of the All-Ireland Quiz. We'll be talking to you sometime next week when you will once represent Leitrim. Good luck. See you. Bye. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I think I'm going to enjoy the All-Ireland Quiz. Tomorrow, Donegal take on Mayo. And if you want to represent your county in the All-Ireland quiz, you can register your interest. Isn't that what they say? Register your interest at allirelandquiz@rte.ie. Allirelandquiz@rte.ie. You can register your interest with an email, tell us what your family situation is, who you represent and all that sort of thing. Or you can just wait till tomorrow and give us a call. Donegal, V-Mail, tomorrow on the All-Ireland quiz. Tara Buddhist Centre is holding meditation classes on Zoom from this week onwards, says Patricia. And great to hear all that stuff online, but please let people be mindful of effective looking at screens for long periods of time. Let's practice the art of conversation more also, I say. Well, I suppose people can make a phone call, but it's nice to see the person you're talking to, particularly in the times we're going through. And check out James Sills, organised the Sofa Singers on Zoom, a global choir, says Tom. So there you go, if you're a choir singer and you're missing the outlet of singing, you might check out James Stills, the Sofa Singers. And this could be the only time we'll hear the Sunday Game theme tune this summer, says Michael Cronin. That could be the way. Now, balcony bingo. Never heard the likes. Well, it happened in Ringsend over the weekend. It was organised by Michael Larkin and it went viral. And Michael's on the line. How you doing, Michael?
How you, Ray? How's it going?
Good to talk to you. So you're obviously looking for a bit of fame and glory, and that's why you did it. That's not the case at all. Why did you do it?
Basically, first of all, if you don't mind, if I can say happy birthday to Ria, my daughter. She's two today.
Right, happy birthday.
If you don't mind, and throw a shout out there to the Ringsend Irish Town Community Centre, the staff, because we're working behind the scenes trying to organise these little events and all. So basically, Ray, what happened was we're looking for some ideas in the community centre where I work, and I just went home to the kids. I have the four kids in the house, licking my head, to be honest with you, trying to find things to do. We've done bacon, we've done Jenga, we've done anything and everything to just keep them occupied. So basically what I came up with this idea, said to the kids, I'm going to go and get a lot of the equipment out of the community centre I'm in, the bingo equipment, will just help me do the bingo. We do it live on the balconies.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll get all the equipment, set it up onto the pram shed, get a ladder, get up onto the pram shed with the equipment with my daughter, Holly, and my wife's niece, Jodie. So the three of us agreed. We said we'd get up the pram shed and do the bingo. They were all up for it. So we sent out, we have a WhatsApp group in the Canamounis up the flats. And we have, I just put it out on the Canamouni page saying that we're going to have bingo. And it's free of charge. And I went to my boss, Lorraine Barry, and asked her would she sponsor us some Easter eggs for the kids that I'm going to organise the bingo.
Brilliant.
Great idea. Go for it. The centre will back you up 100%, which is good. The staff will give you a hand, and you need to do. The staff will all there to help out as well. I said, great. So we got all the equipment onto the branch shed, started the bingo. We had everybody out on the balcony.
Yeah.
Number one rule, I kept repeating, a bit of crack. Free of charge, sponsored by Ringsend Community Centre. We just want everyone safe, keep a distance. The rule is stay at your door, stay with your parents, stay in your own space there, and we'll play the game and have a bit of crack at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So what we done then was started the bingo, and the rule was then when somebody checks, they have to get a peg, put the book. What we done in previous, we just went around, put all the into the letter boxes, houses.
Yeah, you're breaking up there. So you put all the books through the letterboxes. Yeah, it's gone. There you go. Michael Larkin, who organises balcony bingo in Canamounie Gardens in Ringsend, and it went viral over the weekend. And himself and his daughter Holly, who did the music beforehand to get everybody in the mood, and Jodie Cuff, who presented, not presented, but collected the books when somebody shouted bingo, are all to be applauded and well done. And I saw another video over the weekend of an apartment complex in Paris where they were having a disco. And then there's videos of apartment complexes in Italy where they're singing on their balconies. So loads of creativity and innovation happening. And well done to Michael Larkin. We might get to talk to him before the end of the week to see if he's organising it again. I know he organised a second one yesterday, especially for Mother's Day. That's bingo. I was looking up the calls. You know the calls... knock at the door, 4, 5, man alive, 5, lucky 7 there, garden gate, 8, there's probably Irish ones, they're the English ones, but that's how you call bingo, although Michael had never done it before in his life, and they're great. 5 on 551, ray at rte.ie, Connor Pope is on the line. How are you doing, Connor?
Hi, How you doing, Ray? Listen, I interviewed Michael there yesterday.
Oh, did you?
And he was just brilliant. Yeah, we had a piece in the Irish Times about him. And do you know what he was doing for the Mother's Day bingo? Do you know what the top prize was?
Go on.
Toilet paper. And I thought, fair play to him. Because you know what? Sometimes you need to laugh at the absurdity of the situation we all find ourselves in.
Yes, and it is absurd. How were you and yours?
We're all still alive, and that's the main thing, isn't it? Everyone's safe, and sure, you know, I think we're all getting slowly, very slowly used to the new normal. Mm. Although I know that like a lot of parents, we've taken to homeschooling our children, and that's really tricky, particularly when you see on social media how competitive it's all got. Mm. And there are people who are going like, oh yeah, well, I've just done an hour's Japanese with my children, and now we're going to do some yoga, and like, we're just getting out of bed, right? And I swear to God, it's tricky.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure, and look, I would ignore that. I would ignore that.
If they're
happy and healthy, that's
you know
it.
What? Absolutely, and I have to say the kids' schools are brilliant, and they're giving them stuff remotely to do both in primary school and secondary school. And I know that there's teachers up and down the country who are doing exactly the same thing, and they deserve all the credit in the world.
We got a lovely letter from one of our teachers. And I'm going to ask her permission to read it out tomorrow, because it addressed the pressure on, and it's mainly mothers, let's be honest, to homeschool their children. And just what you said there, all the things that are going up online, and people are feeling, well, I'm not as good as the next mom and all that sort of thing. And she wrote a lovely letter, and I'm going to ask her permission. And if she gives me permission, I'll read it out tomorrow, because it just puts all that in perspective. Anyway, the reason you're on, usually you talk about consumer issues. So what is the story overall? Like, McDonald's are closing as in from tonight.
I did a drive round.
I saw that places like Elverdy's were closed up in Dundrum. There were queues outside Harvey Norman and Computer Store, so I didn't go into either. So where is it all at?
Yeah, well, as you know, last week there was a huge number of closures. Brown Thomas, Arnott's, Penny's, all of those shops closed up. And they're doing it for public safety reasons, and also they're also doing it to protect their colleagues. Now, the one set of retailers that have not closed and will not close are the supermarkets, mm-hmm. because they've been deemed frontline service, similar to pharmacies. Pharmacies are all going to stay open, but you're going to see more stores closing. It is an unimaginable nightmare for people who are working in retail at the moment. There are hundreds of thousands of people who have lost their jobs, and there are people who are just put to the pin of their collar now, and it's a really terrible time for them. But the one thing I think we should be doing is we should be applauding the staff who are working in supermarkets, because they're the ones who are keeping their shelves stocked. They're the ones that are serving us. They're the ones that are keeping us safe and giving us the food that we need to get through this terrible time. And we will get through this terrible time, but we do need their support. And we've had that support, and I think that's a really good thing. Now, what we've seen is, and I don't know if you've been in a big supermarket in the last 7 or 8 days, but there's been this slow but clear shift in how shopping behaviour is manifesting itself. So, for instance, a lot of supermarkets are positioning staff at the doorways, and they're only letting a certain number of people go in and out of the shops at any given time to ensure that social distancing is possible. There's an awful lot of retailers who've put little masking tape, or sometimes more enhanced measures, around tills to show you where you should be standing and where you shouldn't be standing. There's a much higher degree of sanitation and sanitising of stores, and it's all done because retailers know, and the government knows, and the authorities know that we need food, and we need to be able to shop in a calm and measured fashion. And that's what this frontline retail move is all about.
And there was a little bit of sort of panic last week about the chain of supply. So where are we at now with that?
Do you know what? The chain of supply is solid. It's very, very good. Now, what you're going to see, or what you might see in the days ahead, is a different kind of product in the shops. So instead of seeing 17 different types of toilet paper, some of which is quilted, some of which is 3-ply, some of which is scented, and all that other nonsense that we've never actually needed, what you might see is one type of toilet paper in the shops. You might also see one size of baked beans or cereal or whatever it might be, because the manufacturers and the producers are all working to streamline what they're doing, and then the retailers are working to streamline what they're stocking, so that we will have all we need. We're not going to go hungry, but we might just see a slight modification of what's available.
Right. Okay. And like, there's Perspex up in front of the cashiers in our local supermarket. So if you had a good load of Perspex, you'd probably be in the money.
Do you know what? I wish. Yeah. today it's Perspex. 6 weeks ago it was hand sanitizer. Yes. And before that it was surgical masks. The trick is to know what the next big thing is before it becomes the big thing as opposed to after it. But we are seeing those plexiglass, I think is the word that's been used, the plexiglass mounts being put up in front of tills and in particularly in pharmacies, there's a lot of that. And that's something that that can be kind of frightening when you see it for the first time, because you're thinking, oh my God, what kind of world are we in now?
Yeah.
But you know what? It's there to keep the staff safe, and it's there to keep the customer safe. And it's the kind of thing that we should be welcoming. And it's not going to be there forever, but it will be there for as long as we need it.
It's keeping people safe. Connor, mind yourself.
Exactly.
And your family.
You too.
Thanks
you
for
too.
Taking the
Take
call.
Care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Now, my son Dara, age 12, ran a cul-de-sac bingo for our mother and neighbours, and everybody enjoyed it. Great success with loads of virtual hugs. And don't forget the small shops, we're busy too. That's it from us. Thanks so much for your company. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. If you want a recommendation for a movie, Groundhog Day, watch it over the weekend. Absolutely brilliant. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.